Hey, this is Ashley Jackson. I'm the Next Gen Director at Fairhaven Church. Welcome to our weekly podcast. We exist to help people find their way back to God. Our church values creating circles of belonging centered on Jesus where people can be formed and sent to be good news. If you're listening to this, you already belong, and we praise God for you. We hope this message helps you take your next step in your faith journey. Thanks for joining us.
Well, good morning, Fairhaven. So good to be with you. And Pastor Greg is so right in saying that I have come to appreciate the ministry here of Fairhaven and the impact you make in the community and in many communities surrounding this area. I am privileged to have been able to come and speak on Friday night. It is a privilege for me to get to come and speak directly into the marriages here and for the people from the community. And I pointed directly to Christ, and that's why I love coming here. When Pastor Greg and I talk, I actually think you're a church that is a little misunderstood. I think that there is a lot more depth here than people in this community even see and know, and I've come to appreciate that because this morning, I'm going deeper, and I love when Pastor Greg and I talk, he always says, take us deeper, challenge us, push us, let us not be a surfacey church. I'm sorry, there's so many churches in this West Michigan area, I'm just going to call it out, very surfacey. And today I have the privilege, like I did on Friday night, of pushing you deeper and calling you deeper in Christ. Pastor Lori led Friday night, and I told her she just did an awesome job. And I'm not just saying that to say it. She really did an awesome job. And she gave me at the end, there was a whole bunch of peanuts left over. I took them out to Sandy Pines. It was awesome. And so I'm just so glad to be able to be a part of the event on Friday and then to get to preach this morning. And I want to tell you where we're going today. I'm going to talk to you about something you don't hear a lot about in our culture. I'm going to talk about repentance. You don't see that word a lot. There's not a lot of ads on TV that say, I'm calling you to repentance. It's a church word that most of us know, but I'm not really sure we understand it. So this morning, we're going to take some time to dive into what does Christ call us to when he calls us to repentance. And I want to get at it a little different way. I'm going to use two passages today. I'm going to use Acts chapter 11, then I'm going to use Matthew chapter 11. In Acts chapter 11, what we see is the Lord beginning to spread all across culture. As Jesus' name began to grow, Paul and Peter were the early church spreading the name of Christ, and that's the picture. So I want you to go back to when maybe Fairhaven was just getting started. We're a new and exciting place, and we're drawing people to Christ. That's what was happening in the early church. The name of Jesus was beginning to spread throughout all the communities. And I want to read to you what it says in Acts chapter 11. It says, the apostles and the believers throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So Gentiles, people who were not Jewish, were beginning to hear about a man named Jesus. And the next verse says, so when Peter went to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him and said, you went into the house of uncircumcised men and ate with them. So here's what that picture is. The religious people of the day, the apostles, etc., who were spreading the word of Christ, heard that Peter and Paul were going outside the Jewish community and spreading it to the Gentiles, and they didn't like it. So let me just help you understand something. From the beginning of the church's formation, way back in Acts, we have always been really good at making people feel not welcome. The church has a gift of it. We're judgmental. We don't see it about ourselves. I was in a setting not long ago where I was just watching some church people criticize some people who had come to their church and they were just over, they couldn't even see it about themselves. It's like they had blinders on going, well, why would they even be here? They're not even walking with Jesus. Exactly. And that's been true from the early church. It was my childhood. I'm so thankful for the ministry of the church that I attended as a child and many of the things they taught me. But I got to tell you, when I was, you know, Brian and Crystal's kids here, four of them sitting on the front row. When I was that age and I was going to this little church I attended in South Carolina, I couldn't see some of the warped teaching I was getting. I couldn't see it. And it shaped me greatly. It took me a long time to break through some of the barriers. For example, I'm going to give you a picture of what I'm talking about. As a kid growing up, our church was one, we were about 10 minutes from a college that trained pastors, and every now and then they would send a pastor to our church to preach. If he got up to preach, like when he was sitting on the front row before the audience could see him, and I mean, our church wasn't very big, on a friend Sunday, if you know what that means, bring your friends. On a friend Sunday, we would sometimes hit 30. It's a big day. If you had 30 people, like, whoa! And these pastors would come as guest pastors, college age kids. And they would come and be on the front row. And when they walked up, there were a couple of men in the church who did not believe you could go to heaven and wear rings. Like if you wore rings as part of your life, you're not going to heaven someday because rings were a sin. And I can remember one gentleman, I can picture him right now as a little boy, that age, watching him in church. The guest pastor would walk up, and if he was walking, like you can see, I have a ring on both fingers today. If he would see a ring, he would sit and he would turn his head back like this, like, I'm not watching this guy preach. And he would do it on purpose to kind of make a statement that that man should not be preaching. He is not godly. He is not holy. He's wearing a ring. We have always been good at the church at judging. In fact, you may know this, in the synagogues and temples, Gentiles weren't allowed. There was a section outside of the church back in that day. Let's just picture it in the parking lot, that one row there that's just past the ring road back. The Gentiles, they could stand there. They could be roped off and stand there, but they couldn't come in. And we don't go that extreme today, but there are people who feel roped off. They don't feel like they could come into worship because they would be judged for how they look, how they sound, what they wear. And in this early church moment, Paul and Peter were breaking that down. And I want you to see specifically what Peter said. I absolutely love this. In verse 17, Peter said to those apostles, those disciples who were upset about some fringe kind of people, in this case Gentiles, coming into the church, Peter looked at them and said, if God gave them the same gift he gave us who believe in the Lord Jesus, who am I to think I can stand in God's way? I love that. He is saying, hey, that person over there who doesn't look like me or talk like me or act like me has the same right to receive the gift of Jesus Christ as I do. Bring them on in. I love that. And I want Fairhaven and the communities, the part of the whole Harbor Port, the whole network to be a place where people go, you're welcome here. But then I'm going to make a swift turn. Always welcome here. But I want you to look at what is said in verse 18 of Acts chapter 11. When they heard this, they had no further obligation. In other words, Peter said to them, hey, shh, close your mouths. Everyone's welcome. Gentiles too. Bring them on in. And then he says this. So then even to Gentiles, God has granted repentance that leads to life. There's our word. So Peter and Paul weren't just saying, come on in, do whatever you want. No, he said, bring them in so we can call all of us, to repentance. Now, if you're here and you're 20 and younger, I don't think you've heard a lot of messages probably about repentance. It's not something that's talked about a lot. And it is, like I said, it's a church word. So I sat in my office in my little stool where I prepare a lot. And I just sat down and I was like, okay, Lord, repentance. How do I communicate that today to a 12-year-old? Like, I want a 12-year-old today. My grandson, my oldest, is 11. If he's here today, I want him to leave going, I get it. I get that God's calling me to a new level. And I want you to know today, and you're going to see it, because I'm going to teach it straight from Jesus' mouth. By hearing this message this morning, you're held more accountable than you were when you walked in the door. And for many of us, under Pastor Greg, Pastor Lori, all the teachers who are here on a regular basis, if you have been hearing the word of God, you're going to see what Jesus says about that today. Because we live in a culture and a society. Let me describe what I believe we think of when we see repentance in our society. I'm walking the way I want to walk. I'm doing what I want to do. But then I hear about this man named Jesus, and I turn a little bit. I turn a little bit of what's comfortable for me. Yeah, you know what? I met Jesus and I'm going to change my ways a little bit. I'm going to kind of angle off. I'm not going to really turn around and walk a different way. I'm just going to do an angular walk. Yeah, this Jesus fits me. And Jesus, the best way I can describe it in our culture is he gets us. That's the 2024 version of Jesus. He gets us. He understands that I've got this issue. He understands that I was walking in the depths of sin, etc. And he wants me to change a little bit. See, it feels comfortable. We like, you ready? We like comfortable repentance. Just enough to let me angle off so that people can see, yeah, you know what? He's walking a little different. She's walking a little different. They must have accepted Jesus. And I want you to understand that the biblical concept of repentance is I was walking my way. I was doing what I want to do. I was acting however I want to act. I was texting whoever I want to text, however I want to text. I'll have my own life. I'll do what I want to do, okay? And then you come to meet and know Jesus like you are this morning. It's not a, yeah, I'll change a little bit. I'll change that number. No, repentance is, I'm turning from doing life my way. Jesus, I follow your way. What is it you have for me? What in my life is not pleasing and honoring you? I've been living for myself, Jesus, and now I'm going to live for you. That's repentance. That's not popular. And the Bible very clearly says, wide is the gate that leads to destruction. Very narrow is the gate that leads to eternal life. And some of you might be looking, this is a harsh sermon. This ain't nothing yet. Because I'm going to take you to Matthew chapter 11. I'm going to let Jesus speak. The Jesus who, he gets us. I personally, the people who wrote those ads and did all that stuff that we've been seeing on TV, they're in Grand Haven. Great, awesome group. Know some of them. It's awesome. He does get us. I am one who stands here and says to you, I'm so glad he gets us. I'm so glad he gets me with all my brokenness, all my flaws, all my family struggles. I am one who stands here going, I love those ads that Jesus gets us, because I am one of the boys who needs to be in the group that says, Jesus, thank God your grace is incredibly sovereign and covers all my junk. I'm in. He gets us, and I'm thankful. But after he gets us, he calls us to turn from our way to his way. And I'm not making this up. I'm going to take you right now to the book of Matthew chapter 11. And the words that Jesus spoke are coming up on the screen. And I'm going to read you what Jesus who says he gets us. I want to show you what he says. Then Jesus in Matthew chapter 11, verse 20. Jesus, okay? Jesus, who is incredibly grace-filled, who today every one of us have a chance to know because of his mercy, and we just celebrated his resurrection and his life eternal. Every one of us in here, thank you, Jesus. Let me show you the other side of him that we don't hear a lot about in 2024. Then Jesus began to denounce, what does that word mean? Call out as evil. Pronounce their wickedness. What, Jesus did that? Yeah. Like the Jesus on the cross? Yeah. Like he said somebody's evil? Yeah. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 20. Jesus began to denounce the towns in which most of his miracles had been performed because they did not, what? Did not what? Wow. Wow, he gets us and then he calls us to change from our wicked ways and to walk different. And that's not a popular message. It's not a message people want to hear because they want to live how they want to live and they want to do the angle walk. I'm sorry, I'm just going to call it out. West Michigan's really good at angle walking. And God is calling us to turn. And Jesus said, you who are wicked. And listen, he begins to call them out by the cities. Look at the next passage. Woe to you, Chorazin. That's a town. That would be like saying, woe to you, Grand Haven. Woe to you, Hudsonville. Woe to you, Holland. Woe to you, Zealand. He called them out, like said their name publicly. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. If the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. That's what they did back in the day. When you realized you had sin in your life, you tore your clothes off and you put on sackcloth and ashes and you would sit and you would say, I am unworthy. I am sorry. I recognize my sin. I recognize my own issues. I accept Jesus. You, I ask you to forgive me. That's the way they did that. Tyre and Sidon, who is that? It's a port city. It was a port city back in the day, okay? And this city became more and more evil. And Nebuchadnezzar came in and took the city over. Nebuchadnezzar, captured it. And I want you to hear this. So when Jesus said, Chorazin, listen, it's going to be better for you than it was for Tyre and Sidon. Let me explain what happened to Tyre and Sidon so you can make an analogy. Nebuchadnezzar came in, burned Tyre and Sidon to the ground. Nebuchadnezzar burned it to the ground. Listen, tore it into rubble, put it in buckets, took it out to the sea, and dumped it in the sea. What the world? There's no more Tyre and Sidon because Nebuchadnezzar wiped it out and threw it away. And Jesus says to Chorazin, it'd be better for them than for you. What the world? He is saying, once you hear what I did for you on the cross, if you walk out and you go, I don't know. I mean, I get your point, Jesus. I get what you did for me. You know what? I'm going to turn a little bit. I'll turn enough. I'm still going to do it my way, but I'll angle off. Look, I've stepped up my game. I'm up here. Look, Jesus, I angled enough that I'm three levels up. This will be good. And Jesus says, woe to you. You're going to go on and keep living your way. And you're going to keep doing your thing. And you're going to keep thinking you're always right. Woe to you. And there's somebody in here today, you're 50s, in your 50s. You've heard these messages all your life, and all you've ever done is angle. You've never actually turned and said, Jesus, I fully repent. What do you need from me? Like, this is what I challenged the couples to do on Friday night. We've spent our whole life thinking that marriage is about us, and it's not. My marriage with Jane is not about me and Jane. It's about what God wants to do with me and Jane. And when you get the right view, when you see what Jesus is saying, he's not mad, he's not mean, he's not upset. He just wants us to get it. He wants us to get what he did for us. He wants to really see us appreciate what he did on the cross. He was not doing that just to have something to do between Friday and Sunday. He did that because he wants to see change. He wants to see a difference in the way we live. He wants us to turn from lying and deceiving and being about ourselves to bringing holiness and godliness into our communities by the way we act and believe. And then he goes on to say to the next group, Izzy, can you throw those next words up there for me? But I tell you, it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon on the day of judgment than for you. Then verse 23 says this. And you, Capernaum. I love it, man. He's just like back-to-back cities. He's like, oh, and Capernaum, in case you think you're going to get away with it, let me say some things about you. Imagine those listening going, whoa. He's in a serious mood today. I came to see him do a miracle, and he's kind of letting us have it here. And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted to the heavens? No. You will go down to Hades. Wait, this is the Jesus that we hear about all the time? He's actually saying these words? I'm just reading to you red letters, meaning his words. Matthew 11. No, you will go down to Hades. If the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Sodom, I think most of you know Sodom. If the miracles performed in you had been performed in Sodom, it would have remained to this day. But I tell you, it will be more bearable for Sodom on the day of judgment than for you. So I'm going to insert and show you that if Jesus were alive in 2024, what that would have sounded like. But I tell you today that will be more bearable for Sodom on the day of judgment than for you, Hudsonville. Hudsonville, you've heard my name at Fairhaven Church plenty of times. Hudsonville, you've sponsored concerts that have come into this beautiful place you built to bring glory to my name. You've heard singers come in here with incredible gifts and sing my name. If you just heard the songs and you left and you went, oh, that song's catchy. If all that did for you was a catchy song and you bought one of their albums or you bought something and it angled you a little bit, Jesus is saying it probably would have been better for you to have never gone to that concert. That's harsh. Like, I'm not foolish. I know I'm preaching harsh. Pastor Greg knows I'm talking about repentance today, but he gets to close the message out, so if he needs to save the day or say it, he'll be a chance to do that. But I'm telling you that Jesus expects change. And I'm telling you, I feel responsible to speak this because it's grace balanced with truth. In case you're sitting here today and you say, Dan, I have no chance then. Dan, you don't know the sin in my life. Dan, you don't understand how bad I failed. That's the whole point. There's no one here that's so deep that when you hear of Jesus and you say, Jesus, I hear the message, I'm going to turn. There's no one here who can't receive that repentance. That's the whole point of the early church. Peter was saying to the disciples and the apostle, no one's left out. That's the good news. He gets us. And he calls us to walk toward him. Daily asking, Father, what do you need from me today? And I stand here telling you, I'm working on this. I had an attitude this weekend when something happened I was dealing with. I had an attitude and man, I wanted to go my own way and do my own thing. And I just like, I got this. He gets us, but I got this. And I wanted to go this way, and I just kept feeling the Holy Spirit, the Lord saying, turn, Dan, no. I'm the same as Chorazin. I'm the same as Capernaum, and I have to go, no, Father, forgive me. I need to walk with you here. I need to exemplify you here. I need to be an example of your Christ-likeness here, because that over there would feel a lot better right now. But walking with the Lord, it's not about us. And Jesus calls us to repentance. And like I told you, I thought a lot about, if you're in here and you're 10, repentance, what is it? What does it mean? So I'm going to read to you what a 12-year-old, I've got the email from a 12-year-old, wrote the definition of repentance. And I was like, that's what I'm going to read, because there ain't nobody in the room can say they don't understand that. It was written by a 12-year-old. If I write it at 63, there might be a couple of words in there. You go, I don't know what that means. But a 12-year-old wrote, this is what repentance is. Even though we sin, when we repent, we are forgiven by God. Even if we feel that a sin is so bad that even God won't forgive us, we're wrong. 12-year-old wrote this. God forgives even the worst of our sins. This doesn't mean, I love this next line. You ready? So good. This doesn't mean we can just go on sinning and be sure God will always forgive us. There is a difference between sincere repentance and a quick, not so thought through repentance. Pretty good for 12. Because sometimes we got that, I'm sorry. I'll step up my game. I don't really feel like level 2 today, but I'll step up my game to level 1. Not so thought through. When you truly repent and understand what Jesus did for you on the cross of Calvary, it's a game changer. It's a walk different wayer. It's a Jesus. I forgot about Matthew chapter 11. You're pretty serious about this, aren't you? Yes, I am. I gave my life for you, so yeah, I'm pretty serious about this. And today I'm saying to you, I want you to step into full repentance. Whatever that means for you. Like, I'm guessing, this place where I am in life now with my preaching, I used to right here go, okay, how do I try to say it in such a way? I'm just going to point blank say it. Jesus is asking you to repent because of what he's done for you. And all you need to do is say, Jesus, I'm going to repent. And I'm not repenting angular. I'm repenting fully. And I accept what you've done. And I'm going to walk differently now because I get it. And you get to decide what you do with that. See, this message, I'm presenting it. And then you get to decide. Some of you walk out and go, I don't know. I don't think I buy into that. It's fine. That's your call. I'm just responsible to give you truth. But I want to tell you a few of the results if you choose to fully repent. I want to tell you a couple of the results. Number one is this. In your life, you ready? There will be an undercurrent of peace. Some of you today, you have an undercurrent of chaos. You've angled, you've done this, but there's still just this uneasiness. This, I don't know, I'm not sure. And when you repent and give your life fully to Jesus, there's just an undercurrent of peace. There's something where you go, I'm good. And I got to tell y'all, it's taken me a long time to get to this place in life. Because of a lot of my teaching as a little boy growing up, it took me years to decipher through some of that. Because there were a lot of things when I moved to West Michigan to begin preaching, 35 years ago, 40 years ago. There were a lot of things that I believed from my little childhood growing up that I'd been taught. I was warped with some of my beliefs. I'm just honest. And I'm starting to discern that one there. That's not biblical. That's a man-made thing. But Jesus, I'm starting to get what you called me to. This makes sense. And I'm living fully into who I am in Jesus. And there's a new undercurrent of peace in me. I got stuff I deal with. Pastor Lori and I were talking about it this weekend. I deal with some crazy junk sometimes. But I got an undercurrent of peace. And I don't even know how to explain that other than that's got to be Jesus. Because I should not be peaceful with a couple of these things. And I want you to experience that undercurrent of peace, and that comes from depth in Jesus. You said, Dan, you don't understand some of my family situations. Exactly. And that's why you need to walk fully with him. Because he'll give you a peace that the Bible says passes all understanding. So people look at you and go, how do you have peace? Jesus. Undercurrent of peace comes from walking in full repentance in Christ. A second thing is, there's a new level of gratitude. when you're walking at an angle, when you're walking kind of like, yeah, Jesus, that thing you did on the cross, that was crazy, man. It was so good you did that. That had to be hard. I bet that was painful. I appreciate you, Jesus. You're cool as heck. You seriously did that for me? Like, I don't deserve that. I was watching R.C. Sproul preach this weekend on a little YouTube video. And he talked about, I don't deserve this. I don't deserve what... I can't believe somebody was willing to crawl up on that cross for me. What the world? Jesus, I'm just so grateful. It's a change from a... to a wow. Third thing I wrote down was, it brings contentment. It brings contentment. I am saying to you this morning, as I close my Bible and I wrap this message, I invite you to live a repentant life. No one in here has a sin in your life that Jesus doesn't get. He covered it. You can leave with zero guilt. I'm not beating you up. I'm actually trying to love you. Those watching Jesus speak that day, some were going, he's mean. And they couldn't actually see, actually, he loved you. He loves you enough to want you to know heaven as your eternal home and not hell. And today, I'm calling you to a heavenly walk. I don't want you to be hell-bent on doing what you want to do. I want you to be heaven-bent on doing what he calls you to do. You get to do with this message what you choose. I invite you to full repentance. Would you pray with me? Father God, I know the message is serious, but I also know you are serious. And I thank you for a place where I can preach this message boldly and call people fully to you. Today, for those of us who have angled, I do it sometimes, I angle, repent. I pray today for a full turn. I confess to you that all of us in this room, we're all sinners. We all fall short. We all miss the mark. But I also, Lord, today celebrate that we have a Jesus Savior man in our lives who came to cover it all. And so we repent of our sins. we put on, as it were, today, sackcloth and ashes, and we say to you, forgive us, Jesus. Help us to understand what it was you did for us on the cross. And I pray today that the kids who are in this service would say, I want to live a life that's pleasing to Jesus. And that's going to mean some changes in me. And I pray some middle-aged and some olders will leave today going, I gotta change my walk. I gotta quit playing. I gotta get serious about my walk with Jesus. And I thank you for this place where the word of Christ goes out solidly. And I pray today you'd take this message and you would bless it.
Thank you for listening. Our hope is that you were encouraged and that God revealed a piece of his character to you through this message. For service times or for more information about how to be a part of Fairhaven, you can visit us at fhchurch.org. Have a great week.